from the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz. You're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run. Our job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop this inhuman
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and the folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, locked down with a dragon or the road blockade, or out on the ocean defending whales. If you have information, news, comments, announcements, or anything else friendly for Earth First Radio, please keep that pencil handy and wait for the contact information. Right at the end of the show there. We'll start off with news. The Matole Forest Defenders and North Coast Earth First went to the California Department of Forestry offices in Fortuna, California, where Matole residents led a rally attended by 70 community members. We sang and rallied in the driving rain while CDFF and Maxam Pacific Lumber Foresters met inside, hammering out the details on half a dozen Pacific Lumber plans. Several new Matole plans were up for public review today, but were rescheduled after Matole residents made it clear there was going to be a strong presence. Little whiny little CDF people, call it off. The community is calling on the California Department of Forestry to impose a moratorium on the 8 logging plans in the Matole watershed while an already forming Rainbow Ridge acquisition proposal is hammered out. If you'd like more information or you'd like to take direct action in the Matole, contact the Matole Forest Defenders. Their number is 707-441-3828. That's 707-441-3828. If you need to write to them, it's P.O. Box 28, Arcata, California, 95518. That's P.O. Box 28, Arcata, California, 95518. All right, or you can always send email to ncef@humboldt1.com. That's ncef@humboldt1.com. And Humboldt, for you people that aren't from California, is humboldt1.com. Dear friends, Earth Liberation Prisoners is delighted to bring you the news that Betty Krawczyk, the Canadian eco-activist jailed for blockading a road whilst defending the Elijo Valley, is out of prison. Great, Betty. Glad you're out on the outside. There are some other prisoners who need your help, or letters, actually. This is a party and protest prisoner, Robert Lee Thaxton, number 12112716. That's Robert Lee Thaxton, T-H-A-X-T-O-N, 12112716. His current address, 777 Stanton Street, Ontario, Oregon, 97914. And that's in the United States of America. And our prisoners need letters, so please send them wonderful letters. Here's some news from Vancouver, British Columbia. A logging protester stopped downtown traffic during the noon hour with a Lady Godiva-style horseback ride, accompanied by an escort of bare-breasted protesters and police in crisp, sunny weather. Brienne Penn wore only flesh-colored bottoms as she rode her horse down busy Howe Street to the offices of Texada Land Corporation during the noon hour. Texada was targeted because of the company's plans to log on private land on Salt Spring Island, located between the mainland and Vancouver Island. The island is known for idyllic scenery, small farms, and eclectic lifestyles. Penn was among several women who posed nude for a calendar that raised about $67,000 towards their conservation efforts last year. The protesters, who have in the past mounted blockades of Texada's logging operation, say clear cuts threaten Salt Springs' few remaining stands of old-growth Douglas fir and the largest Gary Oak meadow in Canada. We thank the Associated Press for that information. Unfortunately, the FBI has subpoenaed a second Portland activist to testify at a grand jury. Elaine Close, a veteran Portland activist and political organizer, was served a subpoena to testify at Josh Harper's criminal contempt trial on February 6th in Portland. The trial stems from Mr. Harper's refusal to cooperate with a federal grand jury in Portland investigating the work of the Animal Liberation Front and the Earth Liberation Front. FBI Special Agent Daniel Fucht delivered the subpoena to Close on Friday as she waited for a bus outside her home. Close is the second individual to be subpoenaed to testify at Harper's trial. North American ELF spokesperson Craig Rosebrough received a subpoena to testify on February 6th. Quote, "This is a clear demonstration of harassment tactics by the FBI and a newly formed Portland Joint Terrorism Task Force," Close stated in her response to receiving the subpoena. "It is clear that one of the main focuses of the Portland Joint Terrorism Task Force is to stop the courageous work of the ELF. Since they can't figure out who the group is, they are going to try to harass and intimidate those people who support the successful underground direct action." This latest move by the U.S. Attorney's Office comes at a time of heightened ELF activity across the country. At least 11 major actions have occurred on Long Island, New York in the last few months, mostly against urban sprawl and overdevelopment. ELF also recently claimed responsibility for the January 2nd fire that destroyed the offices of Superior Lumber Company in Glendale, Oregon. Recently, the ELF was featured on a 60-minute segment on CBS focusing on the FBI's attempt to stop the underground organization. Since the program aired, the FBI have raided a home on Long Island, New York, have been attempting to question individuals in Eugene, Oregon, and have continually harassed and followed ELF spokesperson Craig Rosebrough in Portland. If you'd like more information about the North American Earth Liberation Office, their number is 503-478-9902. That's 503-478-0902. And you probably aren't the only ones on the line. Of course, they have a webpage too, www.earthliberationfront.com. And five members of the nonviolent direct action group Yuba Nation were sentenced in Nevada County Superior Court in California for disrupting logging on the Sierra Pacific Industries property last year. The activists Brian Vincent, Heidi Starr, Lori Largent, Megan Pettit, and Alejandra Lejeune were arrested last summer for protesting the timber company's project along the Yuba River. As part of a plea bargain reached, the activists agreed to pay restitution to Robinson Enterprises, the contractor hired by SPI to log the area, 2 years probation and work release. In addition, Vincent was sentenced to 10 days in the county jail. In return, District Attorney Michael Ferguson has agreed to drop some charges against the activists, including conspiracy charges against Vincent and Starr for their role in the protests. The amount the activists will be ordered to pay Robinson will be determined at a later hearing. Despite the legal consequences, the nonviolent direct action group vowed to continue their campaign against SPI. Quote, "These charges will not have any chilling effect on my commitment to exposing Sierra Pacific Industries' crimes against nature. SPI has not heard the last from us," said Vincent, who blocked a logging road last June by sitting atop a 40-foot tripod. Another activist locked herself underneath a logging truck while Vincent was in the tripod. 2 weeks later, after the tripod action, Starr and Largent locked themselves to logging equipment while Lejeune climbed a tree and Pettit provided food and support to the others. Vincent has vowed to go on a hunger strike during his incarceration next month. And the defense of Ramsey Gulch continues. The Treesit Village enters its 8th month of effective direct action. This story by Blackbird and Hog Farm. For the past 7 months, a group of determined activists has occupied two redwood groves slated for selective harvest by local lumber behemoth Redwood Empire on the steep, rocky northwestern slopes of Ramsey Gulch. The tree sitters are protecting about 3 of the 158 acres of Redwood Empire's timber harvest plan in the foothills above Santa Cruz Mountains, high above the waterfalls and shaded pools of a creek that joins the Pajaro River to replenish the watershed of the city of Watsonville, supplying water to the farms and sprawling suburbs of the Salinas Valley in sunny California. Not today, it's hailing and raining. Earth First Santa Cruz and Canopy Action Network joined forces in June of 2000, establishing a tree sit 100 feet up in an old-growth redwood dubbed Wisdom in Ramsey Gulch on the 18th of June, just one day ahead of timber fellers' arrival. As three crews work their way down the ridges and along the creek with their six-foot chainsaws, forest defenders rush to protect additional trees in the THP, connecting them with rope walkways high in the canopy. By early July, there were more than a dozen such traverses protecting more than 75 trees, and the solo tree sit had grown into a village of four platforms inhabited by a rotating crew of Ewoks. The traverse between the trees, epic in patience, 140 feet across at a height of 125 feet or so, bridged the gap between two groves, saving the second, called Laughter Grove, from the saw by a matter of hours. Wisdom's fire-scarred trunk signifies her survival of the first logging operation to ravage Ramsey Gulch back in 1893, when the hillsides were set on fire following the felling of giant ancient trees by handsaws, leaving only the fire-resistant logs, which were then hauled out of the gulch by oxen and a handful of hardy standing trees. In the last century, with her fellow residual old-growth trees, Wisdom has witnessed the regeneration of the forest, with its rich diversity of redwoods, dug firs, tan oaks and madrones, ferns and vines. The saplings that sprouted 107 years ago have matured now, grown tall and stout to take their forebears' places, branches and needles reaching sunward to recreate the primordial canopy torn asunder by the initial cuts. Of course, Redwood Empire considers its holdings in Ramsey Gulch a tree farm and denies the existence there of any old-growth stands, completely disregarding Santa Cruz County Ordinance 4571, which prescribes 50-foot protection zones for Class II streams like Ramsey Creek, and high country fellers hired by Redwood Empire cut trees just steps from the stream bed, often dropping trees directly into the creek, a practice explicitly prohibited by the California Department of Forestry regulations. And in addition, numerous trees on the steep hillsides were felled in a downhill direction, crushing hardwoods and delicate forest floor foliage, while before sliding down to the creek in a violent avalanche of thrashing branches and cracking limbs. Seasonal Class 3 streams were subject to even worse abuse and remained clogged with slash and fallen hardwoods. The canopy cover along the creek, 75% of which is required to be maintained under California Department of Forestry regulations, has been totally wiped out in many places, leaving football-sized areas of hillside formerly enclosed in emerald shade, exposed to direct sunlight for hours at a time. In the months since the cut and subsequent removal of logs by helicopter, the hillsides have been baked dry. Recent rains created perfect conditions for erosion and revealed the potential for mudslides, threatening the clear spring water that runs in the creek. Local friends of the forest report no fish sightings since early August. Bringing things up to date, the struggle against Redwood Empire and the occupation of the canopy in Ramsey Gulch are still going strong. Wisdom recently welcomed the youngest tree sitter ever when activist Sparrow hiked in and climbed up with her seven-week-old daughter, Lilith Madrone, to spend a magical night on the platform high and dry under the tarpy roof despite heavy rains. This week, Ralph Nader the puppy joined the ground support crew and became the first canine in the canopy, hoisted up via pulley in a custom-made puppy harness. What can you do to get involved? Well, we take more than puppies. Help is needed on all areas. We need local canvassers, protesters for in-town actions, gear and food donations, and most of all, funds. We've got bills out the wazoo, and timber companies are running rampant in Santa Cruz County, unprotested because we don't have the extra $3 to send signs. So if you've read this article this far and are interested in helping out, please call our hotline, 831-425-3205. That's 831-425-3205. You can reach us via email at cruzef@cruzio.com. That's cruzef@cruzio.com. And our webpage can be reached via the www.earthfirst.org. Then click Santa Cruz Earth First listing. That's www.earthfirst.org. And our mailing address is Santa Cruz Earth First, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California 95061. From the trees, peace and love, Blackbird, Hog Farm, and, of course, the ever-present Sage helping out there. Here we have a rather lengthy from Andy Stepanian. If you have been following Earth First news, Andy Stepanian is an animal rights activist who's been incarcerated in New York for a crime he did not commit. Anyway, he's just released a statement here. Thought I'd bring it to you all today. Andy Stepanian's statement. Dear fellow activists, my name is Andy Stepanian. I am a 22-year-old animal rights and environmental activist from Huntington, Long Island, New York, and currently a prisoner in New York's Riverhead Correctional Facility for a crime I did not commit. This was the most recent consequence I have experienced in my life for my dedication to animal rights and environmental activism here on Long Island. The charge of criminal mischief in the second degree follows almost 2 years of surveillance, wiretaps, arrests, beatings, and harassment I endured as the result of my convictions. I am a firm believer in the united struggles of earth, human, and animal liberation, and I support all strategies and means, excluding violence, to help further the goals of environmental conservation, human liberation, and animal liberation. I believe in order for our movements to be successful, they must be united and must rely on a variety of tactics. There are niches that must be filled, whether it be leafleting or arson. Each has its own necessary role, and each shares equal importance. I support the nonviolent direct actions of the ELF, ALF, Plowshares, and other direct action groups, and I am outspoken in my support of such groups. In 1999, myself and others founded the Long Island chapter of the Animal Defense League. Along with our above-ground campaigns of peaceful protest and public outreach, we began to see a growing underground contingent that mirrored some of our anti-fur campaigns. The Animal Liberation Front left Long Island furriers with serious economic dents and increased insurance premiums as a result of their massive window-breaking and lock-gluing campaigns. In the fall of 1999, the ALF put Huntington Village furs out after a relentless summer of attacks. With the rise of direct action, local media outlets became hungry for a story and eager to put a face on animal rights activisms. When Long Island Animal Defense League and the North American ALF Press Office served as conduits to news media and pumped information to news outlets regarding the receipt of anonymous communiques, when TV and print outlets were eager to put a face on activism, Animal Defense League members were there to provide interviews. It was at this point where we became victims of a massive campaign of police and political repression we are currently experiencing. Local, state, and federal officials' goals are simple: to put a cap on activism, to eliminate direct action, to cause social dissent within activist groups in the hopes they will collapse, and to intimidate other activists into providing incriminating information on testimony. These tactics have not changed in decades because some of their technology has, but the underlying tactics remain the same. These same tactics were applied to the Black Panthers, the American Indian Movement, Vietnam War protesters, and within all aspects of the civil rights movement. Coincidentally, today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and today I was fortunate enough to hear his I Have a Dream speech on the radio. He acclaims that from every mountaintop, let freedom ring, and to all our brothers and sisters in jail, let freedom ring. At that moment, I realized that even though I am captive of my enemies, confined to a cell, starved, little, I am truly free. I may be behind bars, but they cannot touch my heart, cannot dent my soul. This is the only thing that can deprive me of freedom. Each civil rights activist behind bars in the 60s followed their hearts, and in doing so, great strides were made in that decade. So if I am not a captive, then who is? America wants its citizens to sit behind the couch, impatiently waiting the commercials on TV so they can see what they need this week. The true prisoners are those who care not to change or feel that their efforts to change are futile. Activists who see an evil and correct it are truly free. Those who raid fur farms are truly free. Those who disarm weapons are truly free. Those who destroy genetic experiments are truly free. And those activists dedicated to saving the Long Island Pine Barrens region through massive direct action attacks are truly free. Our society revolves around slaughter, the slaughter of the animal nations, the destruction of the biomes and habitats that all species share, the same society that casts the hope of the poor for breakfast and tells you how to consume. Today, capital takes rank over compassion, and property is of greater importance than people. Our earth and its animals are being murdered. One must assume that today legality no longer coincides with morality. So in order to live morally, you must be living outside the law. I write you this as a captive of the law, but ask this of yourselves. Do I want to be held captive any longer? Will I sit by and watch the rich eat the poor, the people eat the animals, society devour our hope, and watch as our earth dies around us? Let freedom ring. Support direct action. Andy Stepanian. If you'd like to send letters of support, here's Andy's address. Andrew Stepanian, Stepanian, 8/8/78, 100 Center Drive, Riverhead, New York, 1901, in the United States of America. Once again, that address, Andrew Stepanian, /8/78, 100 Center Drive, Riverhead, New York, 11901 in the USA. And be aware, all your letters will be opened and read by the authorities. Wow, great letter. Moving on to a press release by Frank Ambrose, January 25th, 2001. Today I was arrested for allegedly spiking trees that were scheduled to be logged in our publicly owned state forests of Indiana. First, I want to assure people of my innocence. I have not committed the act that the Indiana conservation officers and the FBI are accusing me of, nor do I know who did. I am only guilty of being outspoken about the issue of logging on our public lands. I am committed to the protection of the treasures, although I have supported groups that have at times engaged in clandestine campaigns. I do not myself participate in property destruction. I believe in and am committed to nonviolent direct action and civil disobedience, as has been practiced for years by the civil rights, peace, labor, and environmental movements. This country's police agencies have made my arrest a media spectacle, as they have been trying to catch someone from the Earth Liberation Front. In their zeal to catch someone, anyone, they have conveniently forgotten about civil rights. They have used a number of underhanded tactics to destroy any support I may have as an activist and citizen in this community. The police raided our house in July looking for implements of tree spiking and came away with family photo albums, address books, and organizational files about the groups my wife and I have worked with in the past. Conservation officers have also called upon charity organizations that have helped me and my family out in times of need and told them I was a terrorist, even though I have not been convicted of any crime, and I deny this allegation. I am sure they will continue to label me a terrorist in their media spectacle, even though there has been no trial and I have not been convicted of anything. I urge the media to consider what they are printing and how they label me and others. Remember, even though the FBI calls what the ELF does terrorism, it does not mean that it is terrorism. The ELF has, and that's the Earth Liberation Front, the Earth Liberation Front has widely publicized guidelines that preclude any actions that endanger life, human or otherwise. Terrorism is random, bombs exploding in crowded shopping plazas and actions of that nature. Terrorism seeks to frighten and demoralize by causing harm or even death. I do not engage in these kinds of actions and do not belong to any terrorist organizations. I have always been a peaceful activist and have attempted to change governmental policies by peaceful means. The FBI and other police agencies have run over innocent citizens' civil rights looking for a few people who have committed acts of nonviolent property destruction while overlooking the real criminals. Real criminals like Bernie Fisher, the director of the Indiana Division of Forestry, break Indiana's statutes. Mr. Fisher allows logging to occur on our state forests without any sort of environmental review, as is required. This results in massive property destruction, i.e. the forest, which belong to us all, and loss of life. Moreover, the property that is destroyed is something that has been set aside for the enjoyment of all. Why is he not being charged with felonies and threatened with years in prison, while I am having these threats leveled at me only for speaking my mind and taking part in one nonviolent civil disobedience? Innocence is no protection against the harassment and financial burdens being foisted upon me, as I have learned. These irresponsible accusations have cost me and my family greatly. I hope that the media will be ethical and responsible and not participate in continuing to print specious and slanderous statements about me, though this will be a difficult me while I am forced to prove my innocence. I am confident it will be found innocent in a court of law. Once again, this is the press statement issued by Frank Ambrose of Indiana, and I wish you well, Frank. Unfortunately, Frank didn't enclose any contact information, so I don't know where to tell you to write. All right, getting into some announcements here. Southern Sustainable Forest Alliance, Wild Law, Wild Alabama, Wild South, and the Dogwood Alliance have come together to create the Southern Sustainable Forest Alliance. The goal is to provide private landowners information and free legal assistance to help them make better and more informed choices about how they manage their forests. The project has set up a website, southernsustainableforests.org. That's southernsustainableforests.org. I think there's supposed to be an N in there, but maybe not. Try it. Try it either way. See how it goes. I didn't have time. I'm sorry. Which provides forest landowners information on sustainable forestry practices and conservation easements. If you'd like more information, contact Ray Vaughn at Wild Law. His number 334-265-6529. That's Ray at Wild Law, 334-265-6529. 6529, or you could send email to wildlaw@AOL.com. That's wildlaw@AOL.com. And the Million Acre Safe Zone campaign has been kicked off. The Great Plains Restoration Council, a Denver-based organization working on environmental action, social justice, and native animal protection, is kicking off a campaign to help protect prairie dogs and buffalo by creating a U.S. Million Acre Safe Zone. The project is the first step towards the creation of a buffalo commons. The campaign is setting up a mailing list to receive information on the project. To join the mailing list, email or receive more information, send your mailing address to Jared Manos, Great Plains Restoration Council, and that email address is greatplains@gprc.org. That's greatplains@gprc.org, or you could give him a call at 303-866-0173. We're going to take a little musical break here, and Earth First Radio will continue on.
This land is our land, it is not your land. From the Transamerica Tower to the ghettos of Harlan, from the Maquiadores to the Exxon Valdez, this land's our manifest destiny.
As I was stalking all pockets of poverty for an abandoned warehouse, I should make my property. I'll let the artists bring in the yuppies. Yeah, this ghetto will make a profit for me.
This land is our land, it is not your land. From the Transamerica Tower to the ghettos of Harlan, from the Maquiadores to the Exxon Valdez, this land's our manifest destiny.
There's a river that's flowing, I've got to dam it. All these trees are worth more if the forests are ancient. Gold in these mountains, I've got to mine it. Oh, this land will make a profit for me.
This land is our land, it is not your land. From the Transamerica Tower to the ghettos of Harlan, from the Maquiadores to the Exxon Valdez, this land's our manifest destiny.
It was a peaceful culture, and I had desirable property. Oh yeah, I signed some treaty, but that ain't gonna stop me. No, I'm tricked and murdered, their land I plundered. Don't stand in the way of profit getting to me.
This land is our land, it is not your land. From the Transamerica Tower to the ghettos of Harlan, from the Maquiadores to the Exxon Valley, this land's our manifest destiny. This land's our manifest destiny.
And you've been listening to American Parody off their CD, This Time With Feeling. That one, of course, This Land Is Our Land. And apologies to Pete Seeger, I'm sure. This is Uncle Dennis, Earth First Radio. We'll be right back. Stand by.